Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C.
This hour is presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
Good morning. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News.
It's time for your morning pep talk. Here's Ruthie C. with the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We are joined this morning by Anna Lee Leonard and Bob Burgie of Mainstay Financials. Good morning, Anna Lee and Bob.
Good morning, Ruthie. How are you?
I am doing well. It's so beautiful outside, and you know, there's a big event going on this evening. In case no one's heard.
Yeah.
No. Bob, have you heard of anything happening?
I can't imagine what that is, but we'll all be
gosh.
Up late, right?
That's well, right. I got to tell you, I for one probably will not. And I will just be so glad that it's done, because I voted, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and I'm still getting all the emails and the phone calls to go out and vote and do that. Yeah, I did that already. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. I really don't remember that 4 years ago.
Right.
Do you?
This one has had, I think, more attention across the board, simply because I think it's been more contentious than any across the board. I just will be glad when it's over. I'm tired of the political commercials. I'm tired of he said, she said, you know. I just want it done.
Right.
I just want it done. And, you know, I decided years and years and years ago, whether I stay up and watch it or not, I'm not going to change the results at that point.
Exactly.
So whether I know tonight or tomorrow morning, I'll know in the morning. I'm not staying up at night. No,
right.
No. Not when you got a puppy who cannot adjust to daylight savings time and thinks that 4 is 5.
Yeah, you've got
and
real
he's ready
problems.
To get up at 4.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, I don't need to lose any more sleep right now.
That's
so.
Right. But there's
so,
still
we'll,
plenty
we'll,
of time
we'll
to
see.
Vote. You know,
yes.
There's I actually waited. We voted this morning. Went for a walk.
Did
the,
you?
The precinct opened at 7 a.m. We got there about 10 till and just wait, you know, we were about number 5 in line and in and out.
Good.
In and out. Yep.
Good.
So.
Yeah, and I don't think the lines are going to be as bad, because I think a lot of people have voted early.
Right.
You know, and I think that's going to alleviate a lot of the waits. So just if you're going out to vote, please be careful. You know, I, for one, when I went out, I wore my mask. I kept socially distanced.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with the precautions that the polling places are taking to keep us healthy.
Right.
So if you haven't mailed in a ballot already, if you have not been to the poll to vote, get out there today and do your duty.
Right.
Because you know what? If you don't vote, you have no right to complain if your person doesn't get in.
Exactly. Right. And you can still get out. It's what did I hear this morning? I heard early this morning that over half the expected voter turnout has already voted. So
over half of, that's what I'm saying. There have been so many people that have already voted. I think the lines are going to move more quickly, will be shorter.
Right.
And like I said, I was amazed at the efficiency that they did. Now, I voted in Gulf Breeze because that's where I live, so I can't comment. But you voted here in Escambia County,
right,
and you said it was easy.
Correct? I voted at the precinct on Gregory Street, on West Gregory Street, probably the same one you did, Ruthie, the American Legion.
That's right.
Yeah.
I voted a few weeks ago.
Okay.
But that would have been it.
Yeah.
Yes. And I
that was not one of the early voting precincts.
That's right.
Right
yeah.
on. Yeah.
Ruthie, I am so proud of you as a young person that you went out and you did vote and you did it early. I am hoping that our young people do take the seriousness of this and go out and, you know, support what they support. Again, the earlier you get into that habit of voicing your political opinion, it stays with you the rest of your life. So I hope you know, the younger people out there see the good example that you've set, and they go out and do what they need to do, doggone. Just get it done.
That's right. Just engage.
Right.
Engage. That's it, babe. That's it. Get out and engage. Get out and do what you've got to do. So, I'm not going to get into political debates today. I'm not going to say, you know, my side, your side, whatever, but...
Right.
If you've got questions about anything or how some of this is going to affect the other things that are going on in life, we'll be glad to hear from you. This is a talk show. We love to hear your opinions, 437-1620, or your questions. Call us or text us. If we can answer, we will. I'm not going to get into debates or make this a, 20-minute spiel for somebody and their opinion, but, we're here. We're here to listen and talk about. I wanted to jump in real quickly, Bud, before we get into some of the topics for today. I had a call yesterday from a listener, and I am going to use this call as a heads up for the people out there, and you're going to have an opinion on this, I'm sure, Bob, as an attorney. His wife inherited a home from her father when the father passed away.
Okay.
There's other siblings, and one alive, one had passed away, but has offspring. The home was left to this one daughter. Okay. So everything was done legally. They got the title changed. They, lived in the house. The other people signed off, said, no, we don't have any problem with you living there, because they were given other parts of the estate. Well, here's the quagmire that occurred. The mortgage company never let the insurance company know that there was a change in the titling. Now, for 7 years, these people have been paying the house note, which in escrow had the insurance payment. Okay?
Right.
Long story short, along comes two storms. They have damage. They put in a claim. They get a check. Guess who the check is made out to?
The mortgage company?
The deceased.
Oh, my goodness.
The deceased.
Oh, my goodness.
He's been gone 7 years.
Oh, wow.
So now we have an insurance claim check, and then guess what? Has to go through probate.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that is very unfortunate. So they continued to pay the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, I see. They continued to pay the mortgage with the P&I, with the property taxes and insurance.
Right.
And it went to pay the same old insurance policy insuring the home of the now deceased.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
That is correct.
Oh, my goodness.
That is correct. So that whole debacle is going to cost him $1,800, $2,000, which they cannot afford to give up because they've got to do the repairs on their house. And of course, the insurance company, so they did call the insurance company. They said, oh, yeah, we can handle that. So they sent him a second check to the estate of the gentleman, which means it still has to go through probate. And they said, okay, you've got 60 days to get this done from when the first check was issued. So now they're down to 30 days to get this done.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds they're going to have to reopen the estate and get that check. I mean, $1,800, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but it sounds like a pretty good deal to get that done.
Yeah,
it's expensive. It's expensive. It's time consuming. Yeah. And try settling an estate or reopening an estate, having this having it serve as conduit for this check, and then closing the estate, you know, when nothing's open, right? I mean, it's all
right,
got to be online.
Right.
But
so the lesson to be learned is basically do your total follow-up.
Right.
So if you inherit something, make sure everything is done completely 100% all the way through. Follow the entire paper trail that takes place with something like this and make sure everything is changed. You know, it seems to me that the attorney who acted as the closing of the estate maybe should have followed up on some of that. Of course, it all comes back down to the responsibility of the individual, but just make sure you follow up on things and take them through, because I certainly, it just breaks my heart to hear that from someone that, you know, they're doing the right thing. They're paying the house note. They're, you know, not trying to cheat anybody. And now here, boom, they are stuck in a quagmire. So just pretty much of a mess.
Yeah. And really, when you think about it, the insurance company really was never put on notice because they kept getting the same check from the original mortgage company, right?
So they never knew.
You're sitting here thinking, gosh, insurance company, can't you do this? But they never, you know, they were never put on notice. And, you know, they've got the same issues in fixing this that the now owners of the house do. And, yeah, I just
That's
think
correct.
They're going to have to reopen the estate.
Oh, they do. I mean, there is no other way. I've already talked to two of the attorneys we work with and to one of our contacts that does property and casualty, and everyone has come back with the exact same conclusion. So this is going to be, unfortunately for them, quite an experience. Too bad.
You just can't say enough, and I know the message here is be thorough. And it reminds me, Annalee, of these life insurance policies, annuities, anything with a primary beneficiary designation, IRAs, qualified plans with your employer.
Everything.
And your beneficiary passes away, or perhaps maybe there's a divorce and you didn't mean to name or remain have that beneficiary remain as beneficiary. But, you know, that's another small, just a very small step that is so critical. Again, be thorough.
Well, and you know, that's why, Bob, every time a client walks in the door here, one of the things we always go back through is let's double check the beneficiaries.
Exactly.
Are they still the way you want them? Is this correct? Mm-hmm. Have you made any changes? Have there been any life changes that have gone on? And that's something you have to consistently keep up with, whether it's an account with your advisor, an account at the bank. And that's one of the biggest things I find people don't do is they don't set up beneficiaries on bank accounts.
Right.
And that can wind up costing a lot of money by having to go through a probatable situation. Just put a beneficiary on the account. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
And you avoid the whole thing.
I'm always, it's always interesting to me. I think that's one of the most underutilized, strategies in avoiding probate.
Yeah.
Now, we see where people will add their three kids to the account on a joint with right of survivorship, which really makes no sense from a liability standpoint. But the TOD, the POD, titling is
And wait a minute, TOD transfer, TOD is transfer on death, POD?
Payable on death, correct.
Payable, thank you.
Right,
that word
right.
just went out of my head,
right.
Payable on death.
Yeah, that's...
So, you know, sometimes you go into a bank and you say you want a beneficiary form, and they'll say, oh, we don't do that. Yes, they do.
Right.
They might call it a transfer on death, a payable on death, but those forms are there. They have to give them to you. So check on that.
I know.
So everything that's been going on, gosh, there's been a lot going on, huh? And where do we wind up with all of the lack of face-to-face meetings, the things that are happening? You know, I know I have been teaching my college classes online. I've been doing the programs for the hospital here, Sacred Heart Online. We've been having meetings with our clients online. Just a whole lot of things that are out there. So one of the things I think we've been forced to do, whether we liked it or not, was to delve deeper into technology and become more familiar with it. And one of the things I've done a couple of times, which was kind of strange to me, I've had doctor visits online. You know, and it's like, how does he know what my blood pressure is? He's way over there, and just looking at him makes it go up. You know, but the technology has
Is that your doctor or your dentist?
Oh, no, my dentist, I don't worry about too much because, thank God, I have very good teeth.
Right.
All I'm doing are cleanings.
That's right.
And I have a really good relationship with her. She's become a good friend over the years. But you know, I have what they call the white coat syndrome. You know, I go in and my blood pressure just shoots up because it's like, I know you're going to stick me or you're going to do something or you're going to tell me something I don't want to hear. But technology's here. And one of the things where we've really seen technology make a large, large difference is in the care of people who are going through the aging process. And I think we've got to overcome that hurdle of being afraid. And the good thing is technology, of course, has the prices have come way down on things like computers and iPads and all those types of things you can use to communicate. Excuse me. But what I'm finding is more and more of our older adults are accepting the idea of technology. You know, I'll hear some of the younger people sometimes say, oh, they're not going to do technology. Well, a lot of the people that are 65 and older now, they were in their 50s when technology was really hitting and had jobs where they had to use it, and they were very familiar with it. They're very adept and some very dependent on technology. I mean, we haven't had any of our clients, Bob, that have said, no, I can't get on the computer, I can't do a Zoom call, I can't. They've all welcomed that.
Right.
You know, and I think that's something that is going to start taking a major place in both healthcare and the financial field.
Right.
You know, I'm a very touchy-feely person. I tell people right now I'm hug-deprived because I usually hug my clients when they come in. I hug them when they leave. You know, and of course I can't do that. But for our people now that are just not happy about getting out,
right.
You know, don't hesitate to call, and we can set up a time to talk to you via the internet or on the phone. It's really pretty simple. We do all the work on this side. We set it up. You just click a button to join, and boom,
right
there you are.
Right, and Annalee, in this year 2020, the two things that have really surfaced is the absolute necessity to get plugged in and technology savvy, because if you're mm-hmm. not being able to have these meetings, and, you know, we just talked about it, everything you do through the courts, everything you do, you know, really through whether it's Social Security and, you know, so much of what you do, your shopping, is through technology. So the necessity is has really surfaced in 2020 like no other. And then the other thing is...
Well, and let's just get to some of the other everyday things. It's yeah. like getting Uber to sure. get from a place to a place.
Sure.
Or trying to book a vacation. Or a lot of us now are doing our grocery shopping online, and we either just pick it up or have it delivered.
Right.
You know, it's... I have not physically seen my nieces and nephews since December, physically. But I have seen them via internet, which has kept us connected, especially when you have a four-year-old and a mm-hmm. seven-year-old. I mean, you can get very disconnected over a year.
Sure can.
If they don't see you, yeah. you know?
Yeah, and I said, so the need is definitely there, and certainly here in 2020. And the other thing is, most of us have the time to learn how to do that. And,
yes.
You know,
yes.
you're not doing all the things you used to do. We went to a wedding this past weekend, and I told some people, you know, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, we had a wedding and that we went to, and it was great. No, you went to a wedding. Wow. Like that's something people don't do anymore, right? But, we don't do much anymore. We certainly have the time to learn. And, of course, the need is there.
Yeah, the need is definitely there. And one of the things, and I think this is important that people realize, just because you hit a number does not mean that now you're old, you're frail, you're deteriorating. But you have to have things ready for the just in cases. Sometimes we and I've had clients go through this that all of a sudden they are susceptible to falling. Well, if you are, this is when you really need technology. And this may be something in your house that is the voice recognition system that can call 911 for you to get help, that can get you in touch with one of your children to get over to you, to get you help. Those things are good. One of the things I've done, and, I'm amazed at how good it worked.
Right.
put that little bling system in at my house because I want to know if anybody's around my house when I'm not there. And it's amazing how well it works. I mean, it's so sensitive. I got one the other day, and it was at night. And it kind of scared me. So I clicked on the front door, and it actually was a moth that flew by it. But it was like, hey,
yeah.
this is good.
Hey, moths are like birds, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Trigger it.
But it's a good system to have because I can sleep a lot better at night and not worry because I pretty well know if anybody's around my house. I don't have to wait for them to break in and set the alarm off, which, but it's technology, and it's hooked to my phone, it's hooked to my iPad, it's hooked to my computer, so pretty much no matter where I am, I know if somebody's around my house, so I know for sure when the lawn man comes, and I know for sure if the pool guy comes, and if he really does his job, you think?
Well, he will now.
He will now, honey. I hope he's listening.
That's right.
But, the whole thing is don't be afraid to start using technology and get your sites secure. That's why I tell people, when they communicate with us, what do? We invite them to a secure website that is covered with so many levels of security. It's just unbelievable. Now, I'm not saying that somebody couldn't hack into it. I mean, gosh, they've hacked into the government, for goodness sake. But the advantage is most of us who are what are considered small fish, they don't try to getting to our stuff. They want the big stuff.
That's right.
So we've got security there, and we've got it covered, and you can do the same thing with the things that you have at home. So one of the things we're going to talk about when we come back from finding out the news, which, of course, we know what we're going to talk about in the news, right? It's going to be the elections. So, see, I just saved Mark all kind of time. He doesn't even have to do the news.
Have you voted?
Talk about elections.
Have you voted yet?
2 weeks ago, love.
All I do is win, no matter what. Got money on my mind. I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody stay there.
There's your song.
Yeah, I love it. It definitely, you go back to today, we're going to have some people that are going to win. We're going to have some people who aren't. So it's just, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this whole thing today. My one hope, my one prayer for this today is that whoever comes out on top does so graciously, whoever does not, and I'm not just speaking of the political parties, I'm talking about all of us out here, that we have the common sense and the dignity to accept whatever the majority has ruled and not go out and be stupid and tear up the world and hurt other people because you didn't get what you wanted. That's like a two-year-old that throws a tantrum in the grocery store.
Amen.
It's not pretty.
Gosh.
So stop it.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Now, if anybody doesn't know how I feel about that, call me and I'll talk to you about it. Okay. So let's kind of go back to what we were talking about with technology and technology in the home of the person who is beginning to need maybe some additional help or use the technology for additional education. One of the things I have found that I think, and Bob, you and I have had this conversation, one of the things I think that keeps us younger is keeping the mind consistently active, and that does not mean you sit down and watch Jeopardy for 2 hours.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
I mean, truly, it's keeping your mind active. That's not watching the soap operas. That's not doing all this stuff. It's actively learning and exploring and still reading novels and losing yourself in that world of imagination. Pensacola State College has all kind of classes you can take online. Your daughter, Bob, is getting her master's in business, and she's doing the majority of it online, right?
Right. Most of it online. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So think about that. And then if you get really familiar with all this and you have to make that transition, if you start having a functional decline in wellness or activity, you're much more apt to switch over to the technologies that are out there and use them. Now, if you have a comment, you have a question, call us or text us, 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. I always like to know that you're out there. But telehealth now can actually, and I've always found this amazing, you go to the doctor and they hook you up with all these wires and you go home and they can monitor your heartbeat and your blood pressure and everything that's going on in your body, your blood sugar, and you're home and they're 20, 30 miles, 40, 50 miles away and they're able to monitor all this. Think about how many things that could prevent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we could prevent diabetic comas. We could prevent strokes, heart attacks. So telehealth, remote patient monitoring, those have become something very, very much in the forefront. One of the things I've found very important for some of my clients that have started having memory problems is medication management. I don't have memory problems, but I can tell you there are days I walk out of the door and I go back home in the evening and the pills I should have taken in the morning are still sitting there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I get involved and Lance distracts me and I got to get him out. And, you know, and then the girls are complaining because I'm paying too much attention to Lance and not them.
Right.
But people sometimes are right there at home. And they forget to take their medicine, or they accidentally double up, which is even worse. You know, so medication management is something technology
right.
can help with.
And I've heard about these people that forget to eat, and I don't understand that. But
I don't know who that could be. I don't know who that could be.
Yeah. Sometimes Annalee forgets to eat. And I'm like, gosh, give me some of that.
Right? How do I get on that?
Yeah. Well, it's because my mind just kind of takes over. And yeah, I do. So that's why I told Bob I have to stay on a very scheduled regimen. Because if I don't, I those kind of things aren't that important and I forget about them. Right. So, you know, I try to be good. So thank gosh I've got Bob and Joan to watch me and make sure to behave myself. So, you know. But back to that idea of technology, one of the other things that physicians are now doing is they will get on a call with you and more than one physician. So you might have your primary care and your cardiac specialist on the phone on the internet all together, and you're all talking together about your care. And have a family member on there. And that to me is one of the most important things, because I find too often doctors don't talk to each other.
Right. Right. And the irony is a lot of the feedback from our clients and, you know, perhaps people, you know, that are going to see their doctor these days, they're saying the experience or not that are seeing their doctor through technology and, you know, the telemedicine. And the feedback is it's better. The service is better. It's more comprehensive. It's certainly more convenient for everyone. But, yeah, it's amazing.
It is. And I tell you, one of the things for sure, you don't sit and wait in the waiting room 20 minutes past your time to be seen.
Right.
They're right there. They're on time when you do it that way. It's just amazing to me. It's like, oh, hello, how are you today?
That's right.
So don't be afraid to do the things that are going to keep you ahead. You know, and people say, well, I can't afford this, but sometimes you wind up saving money because you're not paying to get to the doctor. Maybe a child or a caretaker isn't taking off work to get you to a doctor. So you got to think about those things, you know, and pull the family in as a group. And that goes back to this whole idea of no matter where you are in care, pull your family in. We had one of our clients this past week, Bob, he has pretty well, his mom and dad brought him in with him the very first time they came in. Mm-hmm. In fact, he and his mother attended my class. And all of a sudden, when they had the appointment, this other gentleman comes in who I didn't even know existed. Well, he's actually the patriarch of the entire group and was grooming the son to begin helping the mother to take over finances because he had been diagnosed with dementia. So very wisely, he started bringing his family in as part of a team to help plan his care. Now that to me is smart.
Yes, and we see so often, you know, and I don't know what it is, but I'll pick on my own kind, but you know, these males, they're tough guys. They're getting older, and especially in the past, you know, you haven't seen as much of that. But it's so refreshing to see, you know, these older gentlemen open up, you know, about their health and be so inclusive. And that not only applies to their health, but their finances and just everything that's going on with their life. Because, you know, it's like we say when we sit down with these folks and they say, so if I die, this is going to happen? And we say, no, it's when you die. This
is,
you know, and sometimes there's this time between now and then where you're just not able to take care of everything. So be inclusive.
Be inclusive. And I think this all comes in with the pre-planning and to see how much is your family going to be involved in your care if you need care. Now, it's not necessarily on that stage when you'll need care, if you need care.
Right.
We have a lot of clients who are extremely active, extremely vibrant. I think one right now, she is 92, 93, and she still drives herself here. You know, she's a very attractive woman, very intelligent. She's sharp. So age is not necessarily mean that you're just going to deteriorate and fall apart. I mean, it all depends, I think, a lot. Now, sometimes we have medical conditions like this client who had dementia. Yes, he has declined. We knew that was going to happen. But he prepared and he made his family a part of the team so that everyone knew what their expectations were, the roles they were going to play, and it avoids a lot of the common conflicts that take place. You know, when I grew up, it was my mom and dad's house, and in this on the same lot was my grandmother's house. Living next door was my oldest brother and his wife. Living on the other side was my godmother, who had been part of our family since before I had been born. So when my grandma got sick, guess what happened? We were all able to take care of her.
Right.
Because we were all right there. But now that doesn't happen. I mean, Bob, you've got what, 5 children?
Yes, ma'am.
How many of them live close to you?
0.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
0. I'm not taking that personally, but that's a fact. And one's visiting me right now, and I think she's ready to go.
Ruthie, you and I will talk about this in private later, okay?
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
But, yeah. But you're right. You're right. There's, you know, when nobody's close by, I don't know, even more of a reason to have a plan. Wouldn't you say?
Much more so, and much more of a reason to have technology involved in what you're doing as far as your caretaking. Because if your children are all over the place and I'm your financial advisor and you've got one or two of them assigned as your financial power of attorney, I want to meet them before they're coming in to say, oh, you know, my parent is in the hospital, they are comatose, or they now have advanced dementia. Why didn't somebody tell me this before it became advanced? I want to meet these people. I want them to see my face. I want to get to know them so that if something does happen, they are already familiar with the plan that we have in place. Because all of my clients, our clients, Bob, we have put together a plan to carry them through age 110, I believe is what we normally use.
We run it a long time out, and that's great. And they all say, oh, there's no way. But, you know, I remember my doctor telling me one time the likelihood of needing, you know, that sort of help. And I'm, you know, whether it's a little bit of help or a lot of help or you need to go to a facility. And he said there's absolutely no difference in the person that is 80 years old, who's taken care of themselves, eating right, you know, done everything, you know, never drank, never smoked, whatever, and the 80-year-old that never took care of themselves. There's no indicator as to which one will need care in their later years, whenever that is. And it might be 90 for the one that did take care of themselves. It might be 81 for the one that didn't. But
80 in 2 months.
Right, you know. Right. Yeah. But there's really no indicator which one will need it.
Wow.
You know?
Right.
More
right.
than the other.
But we have to prepare for it.
Right.
We have to, you know, it's the same thing. You get into your automobile how many times a week? Now, we don't know if we might be on the highway and have a wreck. But what do we do when we get in the car? We fasten the seatbelt. We adjust all of the mirrors.
Right.
We drive the speed limit. We stop at the stop signs. We stop at the lights. Why? As preventative measures. And we plan. We plan where we're going. We just don't go wandering the streets. You know, although when I was a kid, that used to be a big thing. You know, you go for a Sunday ride,
right,
and destination was nowhere. Or the destination was the local shop where we could go get ice cream and then come back. I mean, just no big thing. But
right.
But you at least had an idea of what you were doing and where you were going. And we've got to prepare our families for that. Who is going to play what role? And this is where I see a lot of animosity that gets created in families. If one lives close by, that person usually becomes the only caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not fair.
Right.
I mean, that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Bob?
My sister, she ended up marrying and moving right down the street from my parents in Lexington, Kentucky. And she, it was not easy for her, you know, as a matter of fact, it was very difficult. Now, of course, she let us know that every step of the way, but, but I couldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I could not have done it, but,
God bless her. But if all that's decided ahead of time and we say, okay, this person, because you're close, you're going to be the primary caregiver, but the rest of us are going to support you financially.
Right.
Or the rest of us are going to make sure we pay for the caretakers if we need additional caretakers, or that we will pay for additional caretakers so that you can have time away.
Right.
Or this one says, okay, I'm going to be the physical caretaker. You have to be the person that takes care of all the money and the paperwork and the paying of bills. Too often you see all of it fall on one person, and it's because we don't put together a family plan ahead of time, and that becomes essential. So just like deciding who in the team is going to do what, you need to evaluate the environment you live in.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, if you begin to have problems, is that a safe environment where you can live?
Right.
I mean, I just, within the last 3 years, I did a lot of stuff to my house to make sure that I could stay there as long as I possibly could, if I began to get ill. Not that I'm saying I will, but if I begin to get ill, I've made sure there are a lot of things in place that I can stay at my home for a very, very long time. Too often people don't think about those things till something happens.
Right, right. And because of what we do, you know, when we are looking, and we look, you know, we will look at a house, and, you know, I'm really partial to one-story homes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, it just makes a lot of sense. And, but, you know, there's elevators, right?
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah, and if you got an elevator, that's great. But, it you know, and then again, let's go back to that family, and that's what you're saying. It's like, all right, if you've got an elevator, some family members are going to say, oh, no, we got to get them out of there.
Right.
Other family members are going to say, no, we'll fix everything up downstairs where nobody has to go
right.
upstairs. It depends on family and your own level of risk tolerance, because one child may say, look, mom's been independent all of her life. Let's continue to give her that independence as long as she can.
Mm-hmm.
Another child who maybe is not a risk taker themselves is going to react immediately and say, oh, no, we got to get her out just in case she tries to go upstairs and falls. So all of those things have got to be negotiated. But unless an individual is mentally incapacitated, I still firmly believe that person should have the final decision mm-hmm. as to what happens.
Exactly.
You know, you've made decisions all your life. Just because you've gotten older doesn't mean you can't make decisions.
Right.
Now, you know, if indeed you have some type of, let's say, sight problem and you're legally blind, let's face it, I don't care how much you want to drive, you shouldn't be driving.
Right.
Okay. So that's the decision that has to be medically made. But you've got to look at the things that are there. Look at the people that take care of someone. How do you talk in front of them? Talk about good things.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, you're one child is there, now another child's coming in. Well, look, mom and I talked about this, mom and I talked about that, and boy, that really made her happy. One of my clients, I love this family, her mother-in-law went through the whole thing of dementia, and the daughter-in-law used to go in, and you know what they would sit there and do? They would cook meals in their minds. Because of course there was no stove, but when the older lady was younger, that was one of the things she and the daughter-in-law enjoyed doing together, was getting in the kitchen and cooking.
Right.
The daughter-in-law remembered that.
Yeah.
So she would go into her mother-in-law and say, "Mom, let's make manicotti. Now, what do we have to start with? And how much do we put in? Now, how long do we have to leave that cook? And oh, we got to stir it this often." Within a matter of hours, they had done a whole Thanksgiving feast. But you know what? It kept the mother-in-law happy.
Right. And sharp. And, you know, she was drawing, you know, on not so much memory, but,
yeah.
you know, what she was used to doing and enjoyed.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, think about those things as, you know, we right now we have an aging population. Those of us, which I refer to as the silver tsunami, and I am one of you, you know, other people call us baby boomers. I like the silver tsunami.
I like that too.
Yeah. You know, it's power. Mm-hmm. And we are with this big, huge wave of people that we're here and we're not going anywhere and we're going to be here for quite a bit of time. So we have to adapt. We have to set some rules while we are still capable of doing those. And part of that is pulling together a plan of
right.
what's going to happen as I age, what's going to happen with my money. Do I have the ability to do long-term care? Have I gotten protection for myself for that? Am I still healthy enough to get that? And if I can't afford to pay it, and here's a good thought, people, if you want to look at a long-term care coverage for yourself, talk to the kids about paying some of it. Because you know what? If you don't, they're going to wind up taking out of their pockets to help support you later.
Right.
So.
And you know, ask them. Ask them, you know, this is coming out of your inheritance. I guarantee you they're going to say, do it, you know?
Yeah. They're going to say, let me give you some money, Ma.
But certainly, the best way to ensure your dignity, and especially later in life and perhaps when you're not able to make decisions, is to plan, be inclusive, and you know, just put the pieces in place, you know, to prepare for that, you know, those times if they come.
Yep. And, you know, my hope, my prayer is that one day I'm out in the golf course and I hit the longest drive I've ever hit or make a putt from 25 feet and that's when I go. you know, and all of us have certain expectations, but, you know, I think that's
part of it too. And the dogs are cheering.
That's right.
And the dogs are cheering.
And the winning song is playing.
That's it, baby. Go out, say please, say thank you. Do something to make somebody else's life better. And if you do nothing else, if you have not yet gone out to vote, please do so.